Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Good morning, church. This is the day the Lord has made, and we can rejoice. We can be glad in it. I'm glad that you're here to worship and to praise God. Welcome to First United Methodist here at our Brighton campus. I'm Lindsay Hall. I'm one of the pastors that serves at this congregation, and I'm glad that you're here. I hope that you made it in safely. Please do take your time as you're coming to and from the parking lot. It is an ice skating rink out there, and we didn't know that that was going to be one of the fellowship opportunities. So please make yourself very, very cautiously out to your car after worship today. And to those who are worshiping online, we greet you. We are so glad that you're worshiping with us from the comfort of your home as we start a new year and a new sermon series. Today we're starting a sermon series called Baggage. So you can see we have some baggage up here, some brightly colored bags, some old-fashioned antique trunks. We're thinking about baggage, that stuff that holds us down, that holds us back, that keeps us from fully loving God and neighbor. And so here in January, we're going to look to lightening our load and laying down those heavy burdens as we turn a series to baggage. I love the old antique baggage there we have. Well, it is so good to be welcoming you here, and we do want to know that you were with us in worship. So as you came in, go ahead and fill out your connection card at some point in time. Maybe you'd like to fill that out right away, get that taken care of, or fill it out just before the offering. There's opportunities to get connected to the life of our church, and we want to help you do so. So either in person, you can do it on your card, or online, you can do that online as well. A special thanks to Tom Doan, who is helping lead worship this morning. Thank you, Tom, for being a part of our worship leadership. And I also wanted to say that we love having children and youth in worship with us, but I did want to highlight and lift up that we have Sunday school going on downstairs during our 9:30 service, as well as nursery care. So if you'd like to have your kids be a part of Sunday school, they are warmly welcomed and invited to do that. I would like to turn our attention to Psalm 100 as we think about praising God and gathering for worship this morning. The psalm says, "Shout for joy to the Lord, all of the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his people, the sheep of the pasture. So enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to God and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his steadfast love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." With that song on our hearts and that praise on our minds, may we now stand and praise God together as we sing, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus."
Thank you. Please join me in the opening prayer. Lord Jesus, we come together in worship, grateful that you are with us as our Savior, Lord, and friend. Guide us to know when to lay our burdens down and lean on you. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Scripture lesson this morning is from Matthew 11, 28. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest.
Will you please pray with me? Loving God, as we gather for worship this morning, we know that we bring with us a variety of things. We bring physical items like coats and hats and mittens and gloves. We bring purses and wallets and cell phones, keys and masks. We bring our very selves, God, and perhaps we bring a loved one or our children with us to worship this day. We come this morning to worship and to praise you with these physical things and these objects in our hands, but God, we also come this morning to praise and to worship you with other things that we bring. We bring worries and woes, regrets and fears and failures and heartaches. God, we bring with us things that hold us down, that hold us back, that keep us from fully loving you and our neighbor. And so this morning, Lord, we bring many things, some good and some not. So Lord, in this time of worship, we pray that our weary souls may find rest in you. May we find an opportunity to lay down our burdens, and may we place these heavy things that we carry, this very baggage of our lives at times, into your loving care. And you, God alone, you are our rock and our redeemer and the one in whom we find rest. So now, Lord, may the words of my mouth, may the meditations of our hearts, may it be pleasing in your sight. You, God, who are our rock and our Redeemer, and all God's children said, amen. Well, about 5 years ago, I noticed a kind of a change in my back. I was no longer waking up in the morning with a great pep in my step. Instead, I was waking up with a lower back pain, particularly on the left side. And it was also the time when my son Joshua was about 1 year old, and perhaps he'd gotten to be a little bit of a heavy load to carry. Perhaps my back wasn't appreciating the weight. About 5 years ago, I'd also kind of gotten busier. I was now a mom. I'd kind of gotten busier in ministry, and I wasn't taking the time for exercise and for stretching. And the yoga mat had gotten rolled up and kind of put away in a closet, and the practice had gotten paused. And I was finding myself that it was much harder to sneak in a workout with a one-year-old at home, other than like baby calisthenics of honestly, you know, picking them up. So the old back, it was aching, and it was giving me issues. Does anybody else in the room? Yep, backaches. Okay, at home, backaches, right? They're out there. Does the back ever give you issues? Well, sometimes our backs start aching because we're carrying around young children or young grandchildren. You know, that 10-pound sweet little baby that was once 3 months old is now getting heavy and has become a 30-pound toddler or a 40-pound preschooler, or who are we kidding, that 60-pound kindergartner that we feel like we can still carry and lift up, and our backs can't handle it anymore. Or sometimes maybe our backs are aching because we slept poorly the night before, or we woke up on the wrong side of the bed. Sometimes our backs are aching because we didn't get to the gym, or we actually did get to the gym, and we're going to live into that New Year's resolution, and we've started those weight training and those strengthening exercises, and sometimes our backs, we've just lifted something too heavy. Maybe a back for a good cause, right? Maybe we've lifted up something too heavy because it was donations we were going to give away, like coats for Cass. But other times, whether we want to admit it or not, maybe our backs are aching because of our age, and we've just kind of hit that season of our life, right? I'm seeing 40 coming down the pipe pretty soon. It's sneaking up on me. Sometimes, 40, okay, I'm hearing the murmurings. I know, right? I'm having backaches at 40. I shouldn't do doing that. But sometimes our backs start aching because of the metaphorical baggage and the stuff that we're carrying around. So how's your back doing this morning? Is it aching? Does it feel like it's carrying something around, kind of metaphorically speaking? This morning, mine's feeling a little sore, both literally, but also maybe metaphorically a little bit here, too. It's starting to feel the weight for some reason. It's probably because I'm carrying around this backpack of bricks. The bags that we find ourselves carrying in life, it gets heavy. They're filled with stuff that we can sometimes find ourselves carrying around for years. They're filled with experiences we've had and not always positive, but you know, why am I carrying around this heavy load in the first place? What is inside? What happens if we set down our bags and give our aching backs a rest? What are we going to find that's inside? Sometimes there's good things inside, and sometimes when we set down those bags we've been carrying, sometimes we'll be surprised to find what we're carrying. The anger, the brick of anger, or bitterness gets placed inside, or anxiety, anybody carry that around, or jealousy, or hopelessness, what else do we got here, some other bags, other bricks that we find ourselves carrying around, what else is in here? Fear? Anybody felt fear recently? Or regret? Or despair? Some of that stuff we carry around. So just like these bricks, now they're pretend bricks. You can probably tell from where you're sitting or online, they're pretend bricks. They're from my kids' playroom downstairs in the basement. But we do have a bunch of extra bricks at the parsonage, and I picked them up and I thought, okay, I could probably carry around one brick this morning if it was real, but I grabbed the lighter weight play bricks from my kids' playroom. But you can imagine how heavy they might be. Just like these bricks, the stuff we carry around in life, it can start to get pretty heavy, and we need a little help. It gets heavy. If I had 20 bricks in here, I don't know, man, this could be like a 70-pound pack if I was trying to carry it around. Well, thank goodness we got some help. Last week in worship, we heard a little mission moment get shared. Last week in worship, we heard that sometimes we need some help to unpack some of the stuff we carry around in life, to look inside and to discover that we need help with all these bricks and these things that we carry. And so there's counselors that can help. And last week, you heard a mission moment about the Samaritan Counseling Center. It's a great resource. We have one at both of our campuses. Our congregation this year, if you missed the mission moment, our congregation this year is going to support the Samaritan Counseling Center. We have a variety of missions. I believe it's, I believe it's nearly 25 or so missions that we support. But this year, one of the missions we're specifically going to support is the Samaritan Counseling Center with the goal of raising $10,000 to support mental health services to help people receive the counseling that they might need. We've all gone through a lot in the pandemic since it started nearly 2 years ago, and healing, a helpful, healthy place, can begin with counseling and support, a space to unpack and let go of this heavy stuff that we've been carrying around, to let it sit there, to lighten our shoulders a little bit. The counselors can help us navigate some of those tools and give us resources to process what we're carrying. So there were three college professors I loved, three great college professors I had at Nebraska Wesleyan where I went, and I have three stories from these professors this morning. One of the professors that I loved was a communications professor. She was somebody that I absolutely adored, Rachel Pecora. Well, one day I went into Rachel's office. I believe I was a junior. I stopped in her office because I was stressed about classes. I was a junior, not sure what major I wanted to select. I was filled with anxiety, that anxiety brick. I was holding it tight. I needed direction. I needed help with this heavy backpack I was carrying with this brick inside. And to my surprise, my communication professor, Professor Rachel, asked if I had taken time to stare at a wall. What? Have you taken time to stare at a wall? I remember her asking me this question and thinking, she's crazy. Here I'm stressed about what direction to go in life, which major to choose, and she's advising me to stare at a wall. No, I hadn't taken time to stare at a wall, but it was her way of encouraging me to slow down, to breathe deeply, to take a moment, to pause and to pray and to just be. To experience God in the silence, to let the heavy burden go for just a moment. And at that time, it seemed like silly advice, but in later years, it stuck with me still, some 20 years later, to stare at that wall, to look at the beautiful stained glass, to ponder God in the slowness, and just to release it for a moment. In college, I had another great professor that I loved, another great moment of advice. He was a religion professor. He was a campus minister at the time, Bill Drabing Finlaw. He was one particularly busy semester, I was chatting with him. He could tell I was feeling stressed about a paper I had coming up. And during our conversation together, Bill told me, he said, "You know, Lindsay, I pray for 1 hour a day." Wow, I thought that was pretty impressive. "Yeah, I pray for 1 hour a day, Lindsay, except I have to admit when I'm really busy, then my prayer patterns, they change a little bit. I pray for 1 hour a day, except for when I'm really busy, then I pray for two." I'll always remember those words. "Except for when I'm busy, then I pray for two." Man, during those times in our lives when we feel like we're carrying those heavy loads, perhaps it's then that we need to take time to pray for 2 hours a day, not just one. Maybe in those times in our lives when we feel like we're really stressed out, we need to be still and silent and look at that beautiful stained glass wall and make that time and that space for God just to let down the heavy burdens for just a moment. Sometimes the stuff we carry around can make us really weary. The scripture that Tom read for us from Matthew 11, chapter 28, let's hear it again. And I'm going to add two more verses on to it. It says, "Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." The next two verses read, "And take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." Sometimes the stuff we carry around can make us really weary. Sometimes we need those moments in quiet prayer to help us pause ourselves and just look at the beautiful wall. Sometimes we need 2 hours to help us pray a little bit. But sometimes there's more to our bags that we need to unpack. Sometimes there's deeper work that needs to be done. So now I'm reminded of a third professor in college who made an impact. This is a college professor. This college professor was a theater professor. And before each show, one of my majors ended up being a communication and theater, double major there. But before theater shows, this professor of mine, Jack, he would have us all stand in a circle. And he would have us take these 3 deep breaths. On the first breath, he would have us breathe, and he would say, "I want you to leave your baggage at the door." And we imagined that. All right, I guess I'll leave my baggage at the door. It's tempting to keep carrying it and putting it back on. Then we'd take another deep breath, and he'd say, "Now forgive yourself. I'll let it go. The stuff that you've failed to do, the stuff that you know you've screwed up on, forgive yourself and let it go." Standing there in a circle, then we'd take another deep breath. "Now forgive others and let it go." And with each cleansing breath, we were to release the baggage we found ourselves carrying that day. We were to release it. We were to let it go. We were to set it down. We were to find that restful moment. We were to give it over to God. So maybe part of the baggage we carry involves some work on forgiveness. Maybe we need to forgive ourselves for that stuff that we've done or that stuff that we've failed to do. Maybe we need to forgive others for the wrong that they've committed or the something that they've failed to do that we were depending upon them to do. Forgiveness is hard. And forgiveness isn't saying that what they did is okay, but forgiveness is refusing to pick up the brick and put it back in your bag. Forgiveness is letting go of that brick and refusing to put it back in your pack. There's a great spiritual song with the lyrics that say, "Glory, glory, hallelujah, since I laid my burdens down. Glory, glory, hallelujah, since I laid my burdens down." What rest, what songs of hallelujah we can sing when we experience those moments of forgiveness and grace. The stuff that we carry gets to be a burden. And when we find forgiveness of ourselves, when we find forgiveness of others, somehow the things that we're holding, it lightens. When we set that load down, when we experience forgiveness in Christ, when we refuse to let other people keep harming us, when we refuse to pick back up that brick, we can sing, "Glory, glory, hallelujah, since I laid my burdens down. Glory, glory, hallelujah, since I laid my burdens down." So where do we go from here, and what do we pick back up? What do we refuse to pick back up, and what do we leave on the ground just in a pile of rubble? Well, that's probably a conversation between you and God. As you discern where God wants you to go from here, what you should pick back up and what you need to just leave there, may you have clarity of mind and peace of heart and assurance of spirit. I pray that you might discern that heavy load you're carrying for too many years. Maybe it's time to not pick it back up. Maybe it's time to trust God with the stuff that you've been carrying. So church, may your pack be light. May your back find healing. May your soul experience rest. May Jesus, our Lord and Savior, walk with us on the journey. And may we have one another as we journey through this life of faith together to help one another along the road. Amen. Let's pray. Loving God, gracious God, the baggage that holds us down, that holds us back, it keeps us from fully loving you and one another. So lighten our load this day. Help us to set it down and refuse to pick up those bricks that we label in a variety of ways, that stuff that we've been carrying for years. God, what happens if we set it down? What happens if we choose to lighten our load? God, help us this day. In Christ's name, amen.
Our prayer quilts this morning are for Frank and for Barb. And will you please join me in an attitude of prayer as we pray over them. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning for our friends, Frank and for Barb. The quilters who created these blankets have sewed seams and woven yarn and tied knots that are symbolic of binding together the prayers and love that we are giving these recipients. May they feel the warmth of our care and our love as they wrap themselves in our quilts. We pray for comfort and peace as they struggle with health issues. You, God, are our strength and our support. And so we pray that they know and feel this as they continue on. And we also pray for their loved ones and friends as well. And we ask for your guidance for them to give them strength as they also continue to care for Frank and for Barb. And we pray all of this in the name of the great healer, Jesus the Christ. Amen. So, in the past week, some members of my family have become homeless because they live in Colorado, and their community is the one that's experienced the extremely destructive wildfire. They're very young. They're my cousin's kids. And they had a temporary place to stay with an elderly grandmother, but they work, and they have an 8-month-old baby. And because they needed to have childcare, they couldn't bring an outsider into the elderly grandmother's home, which is just a 1-bedroom home. So they have been searching and frantically found a temporary place to live in downtown Denver. It's like a perfect storm, isn't it? If one thing bad happens, then two other things go on happening. So now they're in this more long-term temporary residential situation. Their house didn't burn entirely to the ground, but they can't live there. For one thing, there's no water source. So 1,100 homes were destroyed now, and I think there are still two people missing. And we have a family here from First Church who is also living in that same community, the Lanes. Now, the Lanes lived in our former neighborhood. The kids grew up there, and they were members of this church. So it's kind of odd, I think, that we happen to be connected so closely with a couple of people in this most recent disaster. But it sure brings home the fact that when we at church here talk about disasters we've seen, or we pray over people, or we send a lot of care and prayers, it's one thing, but when your family member calls you and says, "We're okay, but we don't know where we're going to sleep tonight," that's a whole different story. They're okay. They're adapting. They're really young, but our whole family's been in a lot of turmoil all week over this, of course. So the only blessing I can think of in all of this is the willingness of people, all kinds of people, to marshal forward everything they've got to help when these disasters take place. And for us as a community, I see this all the time. I'm looking at it right now. We come together as Christians and we turn to our Lord. Please pray with me. Oh God, we thank you for the voice within us that warms us with the knowledge that you're with us even in the darkest hours. We know when we're using our ears to listen and our eyes to see that you have given us so very much, and we indeed belong to you. We see your love shining through and the goodness of you in the eyes of our friends as they share with us our losses and our joys. Please help us to learn through this recent tragedy of how very fragile our environment really is. Help us to recognize our responsibilities in caring for our glorious planet. We take for granted the wonder of all you provide us. Sometimes solutions seem just too hard. Sometimes in the busyness of life, we want to let somebody else worry about it. We need the help of the Holy Spirit, God, to get back to the basics that are the most important in order to ensure that all people are safe and healthy and secure. We pray for those in need everywhere, not just Colorado, not just Brighton or Michigan, but for people of the world, wherever they are and whatever their needs are. We pray for the leaders of our country and the world, that in their discord they work for peace, in scarcity they work to bring provision. We look for reconciliation and unity among people so that the world will be a better place for all. We ask for comfort for the sick and the poor and the marginalized of the world, for those living with the constant threat of terrorism, for people everywhere struggling with natural disasters and with uncertainty of how they'll even survive and care for their loved ones. And God, we ask all of this with the assurance that you are our Redeemer, in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
From Psalm 9, verses 1 and 2, the scripture says, I will give thanks to you, Lord, with all of my heart. I will tell of your wonderful deeds. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing the praises of your name, O Most High. I will tell of your wonderful deeds. There are so many stories in the room this week of the ways that we could testify and tell of the good deeds of God, of the good ways in which God is working in our lives. Sue, thank you for sharing your story about your family. We'll be holding them in prayer and all of those in Colorado that have been impacted in that way. The stories are sad to hear, and hearing the ways in which God is providing and people are responding is wonderful news as well. We hold stories in the room of how we are touching lives and how we're making impacts in this world. I will tell of your wonderful deeds. This week, God can use us to continue building God's kingdom here on earth, changing lives, transforming the world, and we do so with our prayers and our presence and our gifts, our service and our witness, and our financial blessings. So I'd invite the ushers to come forward to wait upon us that we might respond with our good deeds and praise to God, that we might make ripples of hope in this world through our generosity. Amen.
You have blessed us in so many ways. We take this time in worship to bring gifts back to you. Use them to grow your kingdom in this world. In your name we pray, amen.
Please be seated. The burdens we carry, the woes we have, the stuff that we bring and experience in life can be tremendous. But when we gather at the table, when we feast in Christ's presence, our load is lightened. We're strengthened for our journey. We're strengthened for all that we might experience and encounter in life. We gain spiritual sustenance. We meet other disciples that then walk with us. We encounter the very real presence of Christ who journeys with us and helps us carry and lighten the load along with us. When we gather at the table here, we remember that on the night in which Jesus gave himself up for us, he was with his disciples in the upper room, and there he took bread. And he gave thanks to God for it. And he blessed the bread, and he gave it to his disciples, and breaking it, and he told them to take and to eat, for this is his body, which is given for us. We eat this in remembrance of him. When the supper was over, Jesus then took a cup. Again, he gave thanks to God for it. He blessed it and he gave it to his disciples and he said, drink from this, all of you. For this is the blood of the new covenant that is poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. This is the cup of life, the cup of grace, the cup of forgiveness, the cup of joy. We drink this in remembrance of him. And so in remembrance of these mighty acts of Jesus Christ that he has done for us, in praise and in great thanksgiving, we offer ourselves, our lives, back to God. And we remember that Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. Pray with me. Almighty God, may you pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of the bread and the cup. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. God, by your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and your Holy Church, God, all glory and honor is yours now and forevermore. Amen. If you're worshiping with us online at home, I would invite you to get some bread or some crackers, some pita, grape juice, water, wine, whatever it is that you might have in your home that you would be a part of receiving the elements in your home as we're receiving them in the sanctuary. This is Christ's table that's open to all people. And so whether this is the very first time you're stepping foot into a church or you've been worshiping your entire life, you're welcome here because it's Christ's table, a place where all are welcome to come and feast and dine. The ushers will invite you to come forward. Now, they'll dismiss you, and as you come forward, I will be holding a basket of gluten-free elements, if that is what your need is. And these other two baskets our communion servers will be holding are the regular elements. I'd invite you to take your bag and return then to your seat, and then we will partake the elements together. Now you may come forward to receive.
Thank you.
the bread of life given for us, the cup of grace shed for us. Let us pray. Loving God, with thankfulness in our hearts, we receive all that you have given us. May it nourish us. May it sustain us for the journey ahead. As we encounter you and one another at this table, may we leave this place of worship and experience your very real presence in the world, that for the world we might be your hands and your feet, your voice and your presence here on earth. Use us as your disciples to make more disciples, to transform the world, to change the world, to impact this world with your love and your grace. In Christ's holy name we pray. Amen. A few quick announcements here. Tonight starts back youth group from 5 to 6 o'clock. Youth group is resuming for our middle school and our high school students, so you're invited to be a part of that. Also, middle schoolers and high schoolers and those that have kids or grandkids, know to save the date that our high schoolers are invited to go on a winter retreat, February 4th and 5th. It's going to be a great time. And then our middle schoolers, the 5th to 8th grade, are invited to go on a winter retreat the 18th and 19th of February. So please reach out to Allison, our Director of Children and Student Ministries, if you're interested in learning more about winter retreat options. And then also confirmation will be coming up. And again, you can be in touch with Allison if you'd like to learn more about our confirmation opportunity. The Severe Weather Network is an opportunity for us to support persons in need and to support mission. And so Dawn is going to be out in the community room after worship for you to have an opportunity to sign up and learn more about the Severe Weather Network. It is a really important ministry that our church is a part of. Please consider stopping by and having a good chat with Dawn. We really appreciate that. Now this day, as we leave worship, may we go forth with the love and the grace of God in our hearts. May we go forth with the peace and the power of Jesus with us. May we discern what we're going to lay down this week and what bricks we're going to let go of for good. Those hard bricks of forgiveness, that work of releasing and letting it go. Come to me, all who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, says Jesus, and I will give you rest. Go forth this day to love and to serve the world. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.